This is Fresh Air. I'm Terry Gross. Sometimes I realize I'm singing to myself, am I a man or am I a Muppet? Since I am neither, you can tell how much I like that song. The song Man or Muppet is from last year's movie, The Muppets, and it's nominated for an Oscar in the category Best Original Song. Last week, Brett McKenzie talked about writing the song. Today we're going to hear a longer version of that interview, in which he talked about writing some of the other songs for the Muppet movie. You might know Brett McKenzie as half of the satirical music duo Flight of the Conchords, along with Jermaine Clement. They starred in an HBO comedy series called Flight of the Conchords. The movie, The Muppets, stars Jason Segel as a guy whose half-brother is a Muppet named Walter. Walter has always lived in the human world, but he's going on a pilgrimage to the old Muppet studio in L.A. with Segel and Segel's girlfriend. After Segel's girlfriend leaves him, accusing him of caring more about the Muppets than her, he sings about his identity crisis. And Walter sings about his own identity crisis.
I reflect on my reflection, and I ask myself the question, what's the right direction to go? I don't know. Am I a man or am I a Muppet?
Am I a Muppet?
If I'm a Muppet, then I'm a very manly Muppet.
Very manly Muppet.
Am I a Muppet? A Muppet of a man.
A Muppet of a man.
Brett McKenzie welcomes you, Fresh Air, and congratulations on the nomination. Such a great choice for them, for them to have made. I love that song.
Thanks very much.
You are welcome. So when the screenwriters told you that they needed this song, what did they tell you about what they needed?
The script was already written, and Jason Segel and Nick Stoller, who wrote the script, and James Bobin had sort of...
He was the director, yeah.
James Bobin, the director. They had song briefs, and Man or Muppet, it was just it said Man or Muppet, and they wanted a song about being a man or a Muppet. And James had this visual idea that the man would see a reflection of himself as a Muppet, and the Muppet, Walter, would see a reflection of himself as a man. So within the song, it needed to incorporate some sort of echoey sort of idea so that you could go between the two characters within the melody.
Do you see this song as a Muppet power ballad?
Absolutely. Yeah, I really wanted to do a power ballad tune and just wanted it to be as dramatic as I possibly could get it to be.
So what is there certain songs or certain performers you were thinking of when you wrote this? You know, like power ballad performers.
Yeah, I was really influenced by Harry Nilsson's Without You. And
sing
Eric
a few
Carmen's
lines so people know
all
the song
by
you're
myself.
Talking about.
You know, the one, I can't live if living is without you. I can't give, I can't take anymore. And it's just so epic, man. I mean, Harry Nilsson's got the best voice ever. And he sang that, you know, at the height of his career, just when his voice was still there before he started partying like a maniac with John Lennon. And then Eric Carmen's song, All By Myself. I love that song. A friend of mine used to sing it when she was single, and you know, with a group of couples going, all by myself, don't want to be all by myself anymore. Both those songs have a very similar feel, I think. And so what I wanted to do was get this Man or Muppet song to be like one of those, like a really heart-wrenching, genuinely sincere, you know, power ballad about being a man or a Muppet. And that was what I found really funny, yeah.
And then there's a part where Jason Segel's like bending over in agony and shaking his fists.
It's a great visual. He's on the street in like a downtown Los Angeles street and the rain's flooding down him. He's buckled over just in the agony of the melody.
And of his dilemma of whether he's a man or a Muppet.
Whether he's a man or a Muppet, yeah, it's so good. And then, of course, at the end of it, it's a sort of turning point in the movie. So he realizes he's a man and the Muppet guy. Walter realizes he's a Muppet, so it's a crucial moment in the movie as well.
Of them finding their real identity.
Yeah. Yeah, and I mean, it's what I like about it is it kind of, I think everyone's had that crisis at some point, trying to figure out whether they're a man or a Muppet. So it's a real theme song for everyone.
It's kind of true.
Well, I like the idea of people having that crisis, driving around, singing it to themselves, trying to figure it out.
I sing that to myself all the time, actually. I love the song. So in early on, Jason Segel has to sing, "What's the Right Direction to Go?" tell me about making sure he said like lots of echoey ends in there.
Yeah, I don't know how that happened. That was one of those things that I was just doing as I was sitting on the piano, and then I just made him copy it. I would sing a line, and he'd watch me through the studio window, and I'd sing it quite dramatically, and then he'd copy me. And so that's how we kind of got the performance going.
Let's hear another song that you wrote, words and music, and this is "Life's a Happy Song," and this is like the opening production number. It starts with Jason Segel and his Muppet half-brother brushing their teeth, looking forward to their trip to L.A. where they're going to visit the old Muppet studio. So the song begins there, but it ends on Main Street of small town, where the whole town is parading down the street singing "Life's a Happy Song," and you've somehow managed to make this a delightful, happy song, with it also being really funny, like winking, but still being infectious and making me smile throughout the whole thing. Is it difficult to write a song where you almost have it both ways? Like, it's kind of humorous, but it really is such a happy song.
Yeah, the song is definitely very happy. It was one of those songs where the visual kind of dictated what was going to happen to it. So I wrote the initial sort of melody and bridge, and then James wanted it to visually go on the street and these characters be accompanied by all the people in the town until there are 100 people singing along. So it gradually needed to pick up people, a little bit like a song in Oliver Twist, that old musical Consider Yourself in London, where these two street urchins, Oliver and the Artful Dodger, are walking through London and all the people in town start singing along, the butcher and the florist. So we took that sort of idea and then made it more American, yeah.
Great. Okay, so this is "Life's a Happy Song," which is from the Muppet Movie soundtrack, and my guest is Brett McKenzie, who wrote the song.
Everything is great, everything is grand. I got the whole wide world in the palm of my hand. Everything is perfect, it's falling into place. I can't seem to wipe this smile off my face. Life smells like a rose,
with someone to paint
and someone to pose. Life's a piece of cake, with someone to pedal,
someone to break.
Life is full of glee,
with someone to saw,
someone to see. Life's a happy song, when there's someone by my side to sing along. I've got everything that I need right in front of me. Nothing's stopping me, nothing that I can't be with you right here next to me.
Life's a piece of cake, with someone to give
and someone to take.
Life's a piece of pie,
with someone to wash, someone to drive.
Life's an easy road, with someone beside you to share the load.
Life is full of highs,
with someone to start
and someone to fry.
Life's like a lamb,
with someone there to lend a hand.
Life's a bunch of flowers,
with someone to while away the hours.
Life's a fillet of fish,
hey! Yes, it is.
Life's a happy song, with someone by your side to sing.
That's "Life's a Happy Song" from the soundtrack of the Muppet Movie. My guest, Brett McKenzie, wrote the song. He wrote several of the songs for the movie, and one of them, Man or Muppet, is nominated for an Oscar. And you also probably know him as half of Flight of the Conchords. So when the Muppet Movie was first released, I spoke with Jason Segel and Nick Stoller, who co-wrote the movie, and of course Jason Segel stars in the movie. And one of the things Jason Segel said about working with you, having you write the songs, he said, "We didn't have to tell Brett much in terms of tone, because he's by nature very Muppety. Flight of the Conchords is a very..." he said, "Flight of the Conchords is a very Muppety vibe. It's two wide-eyed innocents making their way through a tough New York." So he knew what to do right from the start. So he's saying that you are by nature very Muppety.
It's very kind of him. It's very kind.
What does Muppety mean to you?
Muppety is a word that I've started using a lot since working on this. I think Muppety is sort of loose and slightly shambolic and with a lot of imperfections. So I'm not sure that I'm that Muppety, but I guess I am a little bit that, like that.
And what does Muppety music mean? What makes music muppety?
Well, muppety music for me is the sound that Paul Williams and Kenny Asher created when they did the first film, and which had, you know, the classic like Rainbow Connection, Moving Right Along, and it had the Electric Mayhem, which is that band with Dr. Teeth and Animal, the drummer, and they had that sort of, you know, almost Dr. John, sort of a New Orleansy sound, but more chaotic. And so, working on the film, we tried to make these songs capture a little bit of that sound. And one of the guys, one of the arrangers, Chris Caswell, who worked on some of the original Muppet stuff, he told me that Jim Henson used to say, if the music sounds too good, it's not right. So I took that to heart. And it's that thing of, if it sounds too perfect or too produced, it definitely doesn't sound Muppety.
So how do you make it be a great take yet imperfect?
Luckily, most of the Muppets can't sing, so so it means that they always sound a little bit off, and that makes it so much more charming and relatable and sort of Muppetly human.
And what about the musicians?
The musicians, I just told them to keep it simple, not to get too fancy on it. There were a lot of LA session players, and you know, there's that sound. There's a few instruments that are crucial. There's that tack piano, where you get a normal piano and you put thumbtacks along all the hammerheads. So when they hit the string, it gets that saloon bar ting, and then also the banjo and a kind of loose, sloppy bass track.
My guest is Brett McKenzie. He wrote several songs for the film The Muppets. His song Man or Muppet is nominated for an Oscar. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. If you're just joining us, my guest is Brett McKenzie, and he wrote some of the songs for the Muppet movie. And one of those songs, which he wrote himself, Man or Muppet, is nominated for an Oscar. I know that there's a Muppet code, like you can't call the Muppets puppets because people are supposed to believe that they're real, living creatures. What are some of the other things that you were told you couldn't do in the songs that you were writing?
One of the mistakes I made was thinking that chickens and penguins could sing, just like all the other animals in the Muppets. But it turns out that those animals are not allowed to actually sing words. They can just cluck and quack. And then I also had another line. I had one of the Muppets reminiscing, I remember when I was just a little piece of felt. And that got shut down pretty soon as well, because the Muppets are real and they never were bits of material in their world. And then the other one was I was really tempted to have the line Mother Frogger in there.
Yeah.
And that got shut down for being a little bit too grown up.
So did they explain why chickens and penguins can only cluck and quack, why they can't sing like the other Muppets?
No, it's just one of those things that they created years ago. I mean, it's great in the early shows where, you know, Gonzo loves the chickens, and they just go, bawk, bawk, when they talk back to Gonzo. So it's a good setup that they can't talk and they can only quack. But I mean, cluck. But it was funny in the studio when I was like, okay, now the penguins sing this line. And the Muppeteers, very serious guys, were just like, I can't sing that line. The penguins won't, they don't say the words.
Is that how you learned it? That they can't sing?
Yeah, that's how I learned in the studio. And they told me, like, okay. They take it very seriously. Fair enough, you know. And they sometimes in the studio, they're kind of method Muppets where they, in between takes, they stay in character. So I'm in the studio, we do a take, and then I'm like, can we do it again? Can you try it just a little more energy or something like that? And then they talk back to you as Fozzie the Bear, whoever they are.
Seriously?
So it's like I'm having a conversation with the Muppet in there. It's pretty strange, very surreal job.
Wow. So I want to play another song from the Muppet movie, and this is more of a rap than a song. Chris Cooper plays an evil oil magnate who wants to buy the old Muppet studio so that he can destroy it and drill for the oil that's been discovered underneath. He's very wealthy and very powerful, and he has a rap about how very wealthy and powerful and wonderful he is. And I want you to describe what your task was in writing this. What was the job description for this one?
This song was written by a guy called Ali D initially, a New York hip-hop songwriter, and who's worked with Disney a lot. And And then when I came on, they needed the rap itself to be rewritten. So I wrote Chris Cooper's part. And it needed to be a rap about him, yeah, just bragging about how much money he's got and how, you know, how proud of himself he is. And that was all very, very well. That was all fun. And then I was given the challenge of teaching Chris Cooper himself how to rap, which was another highlight on this roller coaster of a job. Like, it started with me on Skype, and he was in Boston, and I was in Los Angeles, and we had a bit of a rap session on Skype, just me and Chris Cooper. And luckily, he's got some pretty mad flow.
So, what were some of the moves you had to teach him?
Rap a line and he'd rap a line back to me. And I think someone said on set they saw him reading a book on how to rap.
Did you have to tell him exactly how to say mo money?
That's funny you should say that line, because he was trying to copy the way I did it. But that mo money line, I got mo money. That's what I was trying to do. And he never really got that. He didn't quite get that one.
Okay. Well, let's hear it. This is Chris Cooper, and this is Let's Talk About Me from the Muppet Movie soundtrack, and my guest, Britt McKenzie, who's half of Flight of the Conchords, wrote the song.
I'm Tex Richman, Mr. Texas T. People call me rich cause I got my money. I got more cheddar than some supersized nachos. Got cash flow like Robert has De Niro's. I use more greens than Vincent Van Gogh. I make the baker bake my bread out of dough. No, don't eat it though, it'll make you ill. There ain't no flour in $100 bill.
He's Tex Richman.
Oh, yeah! To be me, yeah.
He's the greatest.
I'm the greatest. Yeah, it's funny in a rich man's world.
That's Chris Cooper from the soundtrack of the Muppet Movie. The song was written by my guest, Britt McKenzie, who is also half of Flight of the Conchords. And he's nominated for an Oscar for another song he wrote for the Muppet Movie that's called Man or Muppet.
Woohoo! I'm just celebrating over here in Los Angeles.
So I and a lot of our listeners know you as half of Flight of the Conchords. And Flight of the Conchords is the band that you and Jermaine Clement were members of, were the founders of, and appeared in the HBO.
Yeah, we're the two original members.
That's right. And the HBO series that you created to showcase, you know, the band and the songs you'd written for the band was called Flight of the Conchords. And it was just really a hysterical series. The plots were really funny. You'd move from New Zealand to New York to try to make it. And you were just as small time could possibly be. You had a fan base of like one person. And anyway, so I'm used to you being like a duo. And here you are as a single writing these songs.
This is some of my solo stuff.
We're used to writing
more
songs
Muppet,
on your own.
Muppet-based stuff. all the Conchords stuff, you know, we worked on together. So it was different doing the Muppet stuff by myself. But I was working with the same producer who did all the Conchords stuff, Mickey Petralia, and James Bobin was the same director. So it was similar in that sense.
Why did the HBO series end?
That finished because we sort of ran out of steam, really. It was quite intense making the show. We hadn't really learned how to delegate. Like most American TV shows have a staff of 12 to 20 writers. And but we didn't really like working with other people very much. So we always did a lot of it ourselves. And then we're acting in it as well. And then in the weekends, recording the song, so we were just a little bit overwhelmed by it all. And then so by the end of two seasons we were really running out of ideas.
But you're still friends, I hope?
Oh yeah, I think we'll do something. I don't know whether it'll be another TV show. I think maybe a film would be more fun now.
That would be great. My guest is Britt McKenzie. He wrote several songs for the film The Muppets. His song Man or Muppet is nominated for an Oscar. More after a break. This is Fresh Air. My guest is Britt McKenzie. He's half of the Grammy Award-winning comedy duo Flight of the Conchords. He wrote songs for the film The Muppets. One of them is nominated for an Oscar. So when you were growing up in New Zealand, where you still live at least part of the time, did you watch The Muppets? Were The Muppets popular in New Zealand?
Yeah, The Muppets were really popular in New Zealand. But there were only two channels on TV, so there weren't that many options. You just watched what was really on there.
Do you think that's one of the things that maybe encouraged you in the direction of song parody?
No, I don't think that's... I don't think it influenced me in that way, but it definitely it was a good comedy start. Jermaine and I were more influenced by people like R. Kelly and Beck, who that song Deborah. I don't know if you know that song.
I don't think I know that
song. I met you at JCPenney. I read your name tag. It said Jenny. I cool stepped to you with a fresh pack of gum. And somehow I knew you were looking for some. Oh, no.
That's one of my favorite Beck songs, and just so funny, but really beautifully produced. And so that was kind of where what I was inspired by.
So before you started doing satirical songs, were you ever in a straight up band, you know, doing like genuine covers or, you know, original songs?
I was never in a covers band, but I was in a lot of bands in Wellington. Wellington's like a little San Francisco. I think it's kind of like a mini San Francisco mixed with Portland. And so growing up, the arts community was really small, and all the bands, everyone played in each other's groups, and every year there'd be a new manifestation of the same people with a different band name. And so I played in lots of different bands for about, 10 years.
And what kind of songs did you play?
When I was a teenager, I was it was more like a James Brown inspired band.
Really?
I was the drummer. Yeah, I was the funky drummer.
Oh.
And I was at an all boys school, but one of the guys in the band organized a tour of the girls' schools in our town. So we became very famous amongst our year group. It was a really good idea, very successful tour. I'd recommend that for anyone starting a band.
Since you were playing in a James Brown kind of band, did you try to learn certain gestures or moves or get a certain attitude to, look like authentic? And then did you start kind of mocking exactly those same things when you started doing comic music?
Early on, Jermaine and I ridiculed a lot of stadium rock moves. And we'd come out on stage and be like, "Are you ready to rock?" And it'd be these rooms with only like five or six people in the room. "Are you ready to rock, Wellington?" And then we'd go into these very small, folky little plinky plonky songs. But then we switched it round, and we started doing the gigs, we realized it seemed to work better when we were more understated, when we spoke to the crowd, and then we put our energy into the songs.
So as we record this, it looks like the two nominated songs, are not going to be performed at the Oscars. I feel cheated, but probably not nearly as cheated as you feel.
I was disappointed when I found that out. That was just the other night. And I'm not complaining to have to go to the Oscars. I'm pretty excited about it all. It would have been fun to get a man and a Muppet up there and really... hit this one home.
Do you know why they're not performing the songs?
I don't, actually. I'm not sure. I mean, it seems crazy. From my experience, it's always good to put a couple of songs in a show. So, I don't know. It just seems that, like, even if they weren't going to broadcast it, they could just have them and then cut them.
It's a live show.
Oh, it's live. Oh, that's probably their problem. Maybe they're worried that we're just going to keep singing.
Yeah. If you were doing Man or Muppet at the Oscars, how would you have liked to stage it?
Well, I don't know. I think maybe I would have played some piano and then get Jason Segel and Walter the Muppet up on stage, and then I think them bring in a chorus of background singers with all the Muppets across the back of the stage. Maybe get, Clooney and Pitt up there as well, singing along.
Well, Brett McKenzie, thank you so much for talking with us. I really wish you good luck at the Oscars. I love the song. So thank you.
Thanks very much. Thanks for having me.
Brett McKenzie wrote several songs for the movie The Muppets, including Man or Muppet, which is nominated for an Oscar for Best Original Song.